I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Woohoo! I feel good this morning. For the first time in a while, I feel good. I have been suffering from a very severe case of jet lag. Flying from the West Coast to East Coast, I'm usually able to sort of slip right into this new time zone. Maybe I've gotten out of practice or something, but it has been kicking my butt. And I feel better today. Maybe it was pure exhaustion. I fell right asleep last night and woke up this morning, and I feel light on my feet. I feel ready to go. Better watch out. I am in Columbus, Ohio, and yesterday I was able to teach some legislators from the state of Ohio, and this afternoon I'll be teaching some more. We've had a small crowd, but that's good. That's good because it gives me more opportunity to teach a more direct lesson, and it gives the legislators more opportunity to ask questions. And, man, watching this knowledge come to them and realizing the power that they have, combined with the duty and obligations that they have, it is really, really, really encouraging. Especially when I get messages like the one I got this morning from some guy who sent me a message about this radio show. Chris Ann, nobody has time to listen to a 40-minute speech. You need to write down your transcripts so we can read them. Really? Really? What do we have 40 minutes for in America? If we don't have 40 minutes to listen to liberty, if we don't have 40 minutes to get educated on how to defend liberty, what do we have 40 minutes for? I want to read something to you from our framers. And I want you to keep in mind what this man said to me. We don't have 40 minutes to listen to a speech on the radio. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. 40 minutes. Lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Maybe that's why we're not ready yet. Maybe that's why we're still willing to put our hope in a presidential candidate to fix the world. Because we don't know lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. 40 minutes. 40 minutes a day versus lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. I am blessed to know lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. I am blessed to know that those of you who are actually listening believe this too. I am blessed to know that there are people all over America that believe lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. And that's the price of liberty. Not voting once every 4 years. Not voting once every 2 years. And no, the price of liberty is not 40 minutes a day either. The price of liberty is lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. But no people will tamely surrender their liberty, nor be easily subdued, when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. But to the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. We're suffering in America from an overwhelming universal case of ignorance. And I am blessed to know that there are people like you who are willing to spend lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Today is going to be a very deep but important lesson. Today we're going to talk about religious liberty. We're going to talk about the history of religious liberty in America. We're going to talk about the price of liberty purchased for our religious liberty. We're going to talk about the price required to maintain that religious liberty, and perhaps even the inconvenience of doing so. It's time that we get an education that we've been lacking for a very, very long time. Hannah Winthrop, one of our founding mothers, said, "How often do we see people blind to their own interests, precipitately maddening on to their own destruction?" As we look around today, I know that we can certainly empathize with Hannah's frustrations, precipitately maddening on to our own destruction. Through a universal ignorance, I believe, as Samuel Adams has declared, a universal ignorance that has brought us to the point where we are actually asking the government to enslave us. We ask government to define marriage. And because we had our hope in a president, right? We had a hope in a president. And George W. Bush was president. And George W. Bush was a Christian. We believed that if we asked government while George W. Bush the Christian was president to define marriage, it would all work out the way we wanted. But we forgot that governments change, that presidents change, that government ideology always changes over time. and the sword that we put in the hands of George W. Bush became the sword that persecuted us when it fell into the hands of the Supreme Court. And so we asked government to define marriage for us, and they did. Government doesn't have the authority to define marriage. It was not something that we delegated to the federal government. It's not something that the federal government should even be considering. And yet we ask them to do that which they had no power to do. And they gladly did that. Of course they gladly did that. Because government always wants more power. And anything that we do, and anything that we ask of them that will give them more power, they will gladly accept. And they'll do it in light of, well, we'll do what you like. We hear you. We'll make sure that we accurately represent you. And then that regime changes, right? And you get a new president and a new administration. And that power didn't go away. That same power exists that ought not exist in the hands of someone who ought not possess it. And then you get a different result. Because our founders knew, and they learned throughout history, that the sword you put in the government's hand to protect you will not long be that sword, but will soon become the sword that persecutes you. That is why our framers established religious liberty as a part of our Constitution. Richard Henry Lee wrote, "It is true we are not disposed to differ much at present about religion, but as we are creating a constitution for ages and millions yet unborn, why not make religious liberty a part of that national compact?" Why? Because government ideologies and administrations always change. And when government can dictate to you what you can and cannot believe, then you are not free.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
America does not have a pretty history for religious liberty. Oh, we dress it up. We sterilize it. We make it look real pretty, but it's not. America's history of religious liberty is far from pretty. And it's about time we accept the cold, hard facts. Because you see, when you dress up history, you clean up, you sterilize it. You take away the mistakes. And when you take away the mistakes, you can't get educated upon them. And when you take away the mistakes and you can't get educated upon them, then you're doomed to repeat them. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're repeating mistakes because we do not know our own history. You see, we are taught that those who founded America fled their countries in search of religious liberty. You're taught that in your school books. You're taught that in your church house. Those seeking religious liberty coming to America. No. They were not seeking religious liberty. They were fleeing religious persecution. There's a difference. And what they did when they got here illustrates that difference. You see, when they got to here and started the early American colonies, they did not establish religious liberty as a part of their charter. No, they established government-established religion. Government mandating religion. You see, they did not establish religious liberty. They established government religion. That's the exact opposite of religious liberty. And it wasn't a friendly suggestion. Oh, we would so like for you to come to our church this Sunday. No. They established chartered religion. They created oaths of office that required everyone to be loyal to the chartered religion. And then they inflicted swift and firm and sometimes even violent punishments to anyone who refused to practice the established religion. Yes, that is America. I am not talking about Iraq or Iran or China. I am talking about the history of religious liberty in America. You know, the interesting thing is that these first settlers, they recognized something about government that we don't recognize today. Perhaps their history was a little bit more fresh in their minds. They realized that government changes ideology, that administrations shift, and with the shift of administrations, you get a different subset of beliefs. And so they required these test act oaths. Everybody who is going to run for government office must take an oath of loyalty to the chartered religion. Why? So that we can ensure that the people who fill our government seats are always our religion. Because if you don't, the sword that you put in the hand of government to protect will become the sword that persecutes. So they made everybody take this oath of loyalty to a chartered religion, because we know that politicians always keep their oaths. Yeah, so it didn't work out much better for them than it does for us. But nonetheless, they knew something that we have forgotten. And so what happens then? Because you don't have religious liberty. We shouldn't be kicking them in the pants for not knowing liberty, because liberty is something that has to be learned. It's a lesson that must be learned. It's a gift from God, but it has to be learned. Truth is a gift from God, but you don't have to teach your children to lie. You have to teach them the value of truth. So we have to teach our children the value of liberty. And these people had to learn, our forefathers had to learn the value of liberty as well. And so we have to realize that in fleeing persecution, they were only doing what they thought was best. How do we keep our government from persecuting us for our beliefs? Well, the quickest and easiest way is to make sure that our government always believes what we believe. But governments don't. And men don't keep oaths.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, of course, I'm not trying to assert that men will break their oaths because men are evil and wicked. Of course, men are evil and wicked, some of them, but not all of them. Can we just step a few steps in their shoes for just a second and see what's going on here? You see, when you're fleeing religious persecution in the early 1700s, late 1600s, you are not buying a plane ticket for you and your family, hopping on a plane, and choosing which airport you're going to land in the new colonies. Of course not. What you're doing is bankrupting yourself. You and your family are going to spend everything that you have to get on a boat. You're going to pray that you survive the journey, because many will not. And then you're going to end up where you end up, because even the Mayflower didn't land where it was supposed to land, because that's sailing. So now you have bankrupted yourself. You and your family have made this horrible journey. I have been on a modern day sailboat. I have been hurling over the side of a sailboat. I know the misery of seasickness. I cannot imagine. I don't want to imagine the misery that these people suffered to flee religious persecution. And so you're just grateful that you didn't die. But now you've landed in a charter that is not your religion. And you have a choice to make. Because remember, it's not a friendly suggestion, it's the law, subject to swift and severe punishment. So do you follow the law and violate your conscience? Or do you violate the law and follow your conscience? Frederick Bastiat would point out that that is a no-win situation. Either way, morality loses, because you either surrender your conscience, which leads to further degradation of morality, or you lose disrespect for the law, and society cannot exist in a state of lawlessness. So what do you do? Well, some will violate their conscience, and others will not. Take, for example, Obadiah Holmes. He and his people found themselves in a charter that was not their religion. They decided to violate the law instead of their conscience. They started having church in secret in each other's homes. One day, I guess somebody turned them in and the knock came at the door. Mr. Holmes, are you preaching outside the chartered religion? Mr. Holmes responded in any way that a man can when he has retained his conscience. Yes, I am. Obadiah Holmes was arrested and thrown into prison for his beliefs. He was beaten so severely because of his beliefs that he had to spend an entire week in his prison cell on his hands and knees, because it was the only way that he could be relieved of the pain he was suffering based on his beliefs. I want you to take into consideration Mary Dyer. Mary Dyer should teach us a very unpleasant and painful lesson about government having power to persecute you for your beliefs. You see, Massachusetts had a law that said if any shipman were to import a Quaker into Massachusetts, the shipman would be imprisoned and the Quaker would be hung. Mary Dyer refused to violate her conscience. And Mary Dyer was publicly hung by law for her beliefs. You see, government chosen religion, government preferred religion, is not religious liberty. And we need to remember these valuable lessons. Number one, that government always changes its administration. And the power that you give an administration today, the administration that you support and the administration that you know supports you, will be the power wielded by the administration tomorrow that no longer supports or represents you, but supports and represents a different faction. So we must be careful. We must be careful what sword we choose to put in the hand of government, because that sword will be wielded against us. John Leland, the leader of the Virginia Baptist General Convention. The reason that we have religious liberty codified in America said every man must give an account of himself to God, and therefore every man ought to be at liberty to serve God in that way he can best reconcile it to his conscience. If government can answer for individuals at that day of judgment, let men be controlled by it in religion. Otherwise, let men be free. You see, the Virginia Baptist General Convention were the direct descendants of those who were beaten, tortured, and persecuted, and executed for their beliefs. And when it came time to create the Constitution, which we call the More Perfect Union, the state of Virginia said, we will not ratify this Constitution without greater protection of religious liberty. We do not want to repeat those mistakes. We do not want to put a sword in the hand of government, not even by accident, because down the line we might forget the sufferings. Down the line we might forget the lessons. And we don't want to leave that to chance. We want to make sure that the people will always remember that their legislators cannot choose religion for them. Their legislators cannot prefer a religion for them. And that we must establish a wall of separation between church and state. Now it's interesting because our modern scholars and those who have become too smart to tie their own shoes have decided that separation of church and state is a modern invention. Modern, meaning 1802, Thomas Jefferson. When in reality, it is not. Religious liberty, separation of church and state, was incorporated in our founders' constitution as early as 1100. Their constitution, beginning with the document, the 1100 Charter of Liberties, a promise from Henry I, their king, that government would never be evil and oppressive again. And then declaring as his very first promise that the Church of England would be completely free from government intrusion. A king in 1100 declaring that if the government is in your church, you have an evil and oppressive government. How is a king knew that? And today, freemen, who are highly educated, do not know that. For almost 1,000 years, people have been believing that separation of church and state means that government has no business in your beliefs, in your faith, in your worship. And how does it become that only in the last few decades, men and women, too educated to tie their own shoes, have come to believe that separation of church and state means that God has no business in public conversation? Because, as John Leland feared, we have forgotten the lessons. We've become detached from our history. And we've decided that the suffering is just too unpleasant to remember. You see, the cold hard facts are this, and this may be offensive to some, but you know what? Truth is not fair and balanced, and the truth hurts. What John Leland was giving us was simply a summary of the Judeo-Christian worldview. The Judeo-Christian worldview that believes that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. No other worldview gives you that. Because it's the Judeo-Christian worldview that believes that all men will stand before God one day, regardless of what they believe, and will answer to God for the things that they've done and haven't done, regardless of what they chose to believe or didn't believe. And on that day, government can't set you aside and take the responsibility for your actions. So on that day, which is individual and personal, government should not be your excuse. And since government can't be your excuse, then government cannot be the dictator of your conscience. Because you see, the Judeo-Christian worldview says that the God who hung the moon and the stars, who knows every hair in your head and knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, does not strike you dead the moment you don't believe what he wants you to believe. Government should never exercise a power greater than God exercises himself. And since government cannot take your place, government cannot dictate your conscience, and they should never be able to punish you for your beliefs. That's tyranny.
My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my tent till I ain't got none. Except for
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, unfortunately, we are now in a situation where our fear and circumstances, combined with our universal ignorance of history, is going to cause us to precipitately madden on to our own destruction. We're hearing otherwise intelligent people calling for things that have only throughout history and will only prove to destroy our liberty and enslave us by government. Otherwise intelligent people declaring that we should shut down mosques in America, that we should outlaw religion, certain religions, not all of them, just the one or two, and that we should create a test, a religious test for people coming to America. You see, I just spent the last 28 minutes explaining to you the history so that we do not repeat that. Because you see, the irony is, we don't even have an administration at this point in time that actually reflects the Christian belief system. And yet we want to put that sword in the hands of this administration. We want to beg them. I'll remind you, we still have 13 months left of this administration, and we want to beg this administration to establish a religious test allowing only certain religions to come in America. We want to establish a religious test for building buildings and having faith. That religious test did not work out so well for us before. Are we so naive to think that we can make it happen now? And do we forget? The government will always gladly accept a power they ought not have, because governments always want more power. And the more power government has, the less liberty the people have. That's who we are. That's how human nature works. Liberty is the enemy of government, and government is the enemy to liberty. So please, I beg you on behalf of our posterity, for ages and millions yet unborn, please do not let fear madden us on to destruction. so that we end up putting a sword in the hand of government that will persecute us? Do we really want government to reestablish religious tests? Do we really want government to have the power to choose what faiths can build buildings and what faiths are legal or illegal? I want us to recognize what we are asking the government to do is to make someone's belief illegal. I realize the dangers of the ideology of Islam. I realize the dangers of government of Islam. But in the eyes of many, Islam is a religion. And if you allow government to destroy a religion in the name of security, it will not be long before that same government begins turning on you. Christians around the globe know what this feels like. America does not want to. There is a reason why government cannot be involved in religion, because persecution always follows. Government should be limited to arresting people for criminal behavior and not allowed to arrest people for their beliefs. Because when your beliefs become illegal, that's what we're asking for. When your beliefs become illegal, you are no longer safe. I'll remind you that our government has issued documents declaring that people who believe in liberty are violent extremists. Do not grant government more power than you are willing to pledge life, fortune, and sacred honor to get back. Government will never surrender a power once given, and they will always take more. Which of your beliefs do you want to be illegal? Because when you give government that power, that's what you're doing. You are enslaving our children. Let's make the hard choices. Let's be free. God bless. See you tomorrow.